Okay, we're picking up with the very top of Pe'alf Manalf. We're up to a new Mishnah. The Mishnah is basically continuing the previous Mishnah, which had discussed what is the minimum shear with a person who's going to be chayav if he carries out on Shabbos. So this Mishnah is continuing that list of different items. So the Mishnah starts off when it comes to etzem, when it comes to a bone, the minimum shear of carrying out a bone, the Mishnah says, k'dei lasas tarbat, is going to be equivalent to that which is used to make a spoon. Rabbi Yehuda omer k'dei lasas menuchaf. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's going to be the measure that is equivalent enough to use to make a key. Okay, so then the Mishnah continues. Zechuches k'dei ligmar bo rosh hakarka. When it comes to the measure, a person's going to be chayav for carrying out a glass, that's going to be enough to scrape out rosh hakarka, which is a type of a sharpened stick that was used by weavers. That is the shear. And then when it comes to tzror o even k'dei ligmar bo oaf, when it comes to a pebble or a stone, the shear, the equivalent is going to be to throw it at a bird to chase it away. And Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov omer k'dei lizrok b'behema. Rabbi Lazar goes, no, it needs to be enough to throw an animal which is larger. And Rashi points out that when it comes to Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov holds that a person is never going to even bother throwing if you're chasing away a bird, all you have to do is clap or make a noise, Rashi says, and then it'll fly away because the birds get scared very easily. However, when it comes to an animal, to get an animal scared and get them to move away, you have to throw something which is going to be heavier, is more machmir. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what that shear is in the Hemshech of the Gemara. So now the Gemara asks, it implies that when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda's shear, it seems to imply, based on his getter of what we're giving, his getter was, Rabbi Yehuda held that it was enough to make the key, that seems to be greater than the spoon that we're discussing over here. But hakam el under shir derabanan nafesh. But we have said time and again. We said this from yesterday's daf already that the rabbanan are generally more meikel when it comes to the shiurim of carrying out. As we explained before, we'll go with this pshat. The Ramban brings in the Ritva says something very similar. Is that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim is that if you have two uses for one item, and one is more common than the other, then what is going to be chayav according to the Rabbanan is just we go after the more common one, even lakula. So you would go after the more common one, so if the more common one is a bigger shear, we'd be more mekel. However, Rabbi Yehuda says no, if there's two common uses, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're going to go with the more stringent, with the more machmir one, no matter what. And that would be why Rabbi Yehuda is always considered more machmir. So the Gemara is wondering, how could Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah seemingly be more mekel than the Shita of the Rabbanan? So the Gemara answers this. The Gemara says, Amar Ula, Chafe Posachas. So the Gemara answers that when it comes to over here, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't referring to the entire key, but he's only referring to the teeth of the key. That the keys had the type of the keys that they had in the time of the Gemara is that they had like these long strings and they had these teeth to be able to open them up. So those are a very small amount, and so Rabbi Yehuda is in fact being more machmir. He's saying a smaller shear than that of the Rabbanan, so he's being more machmir that if you take out that smaller shear, you would still be chayav. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, chafe potachas tohorim. When it comes to these keys that we're discussing over here, they're going to be considered pure. They can't become impure when you separate them from the key because they have no function on their own. That's what the Gemara is telling us over here. And then, kavan peposachas, however, if someone fixed them to the key, then what's going to happen? Then they're going to become originally impure because they're part of the utensil, so therefore they're going to become impure. Vishel gal, however, if they are the teeth of a lock, so then the Gemara says, according to the Raisa, kavandim esmarim tahorim. If someone attacks them to the door with nails, they're going to become pure. Shekol mechuber lekarka reyu kekarka. And the Gemara explains why, because anything that's attached to the ground has the status of the ground, which we know the ground cannot become tame. Adama is not able to become tame. The Pesukim discussed that something that's mechuber lekarka is not able to become tame. Something that's attached to the ground is never able to become susceptible to tuma. Now that we're going to the Hemshech and the Mishnah says chuches kedei ligrabar. When it comes to glass, that if you had enough to scrape off that amount, the weaver's thing, then you're going to be chayev. So the Gemara says Tana. The Braisa taught us schuches. When it comes to glass, why was it calling it schuches with a samech and not with a zayin, a schuches? Rashi says that there's two lashonas, schuches and schuches, both referring to glass. Schuches is lashon of zaka, because it is clear. And schuches, Rashi says, because sochin, lashon of looking, that staring at something, that is like people look at a mirror, which is made of glass. So that is what we have lashon of schuches over here, why it's called schuches and schuches. So anyway, schuches over here is glass. Enough to cut. If you're taking off two warp threads from the loom, then that is the shear over here that the Rashi points out that the weaver would cut off whatever was left over from the warp with the using this piece of glass. So that is the minimum shear. That is the minimum amount. If a person carries it out, would be chayav on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah says, "Vaita." The Mishnah says, "Sora Evan, analyze this part: a pebble or a stone." So k'dei lizrok ba'of. That the Mishnah said there's enough to throw out a bird, and Rabbi Elazar said that it's going to be enough. As Rabbi Yaakov said, enough to throw out an animal. So the Gemara now says, that the stone or the pebble that you're throwing has to be large enough the animal is going to be able to feel it when you throw it at it. It has to be heavy enough, Rashi points out, has to be heavy enough that it is going to impact that the animal will fly away when it hits it. The kama shi'uro, and what is the shear when the animal is being hit? So says Gemara, says now Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mishkal Asar Zuz, it has to be the weight of 10 Zuz. Now the Gemara continues, and Gemara says, Zunin, Al Lebed Majasha. Zunin was according to most, according they point out, they think that Zunin was a contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so one of the prominent Tanaim. So he came to the Beis Medrash one morning, and he said, Amar Lura Bosai, he gives a clap on the bima, and he says, my teachers, Avanim Shel Beis Akise, that the stones that they used, that people used to wipe themselves in the times of the Gemara, we saw this in the Gemara and Brachos a lot, discuss this. And when it comes to the stones that people use to wipe themselves, so he was wondering, Shir Mekama, what is their shir? Shirashi has two explanations. What is the possibility of his question? The first is that how much is going to be the shir that you're going to be chayav when you take them out? What is the minimum amount that you would, if you'd be, you'd be chayav for taking them out on Shabbos? That if we have minimum shir, and that's the whole discussion of this Mishnayos and the previous ones of what is the minimum amount to take it out to be chayav on Shabbos. So that was his question. The other option Rashi says is that a person, normally, stones are considered mukta. They're considered mukta machmas atzman, that they have no use on Shabbos. So however, when the chachamim relax their iser when it comes to the fact that a person needs these stones for wiping. So therefore, they were wondering what is the minimum amount a person can take these out. So either way, and Rashi points out that no matter either way you explain it, it's going to be the same. It is going to be the same shear because whatever Chazal allowed you to take out is the amount that's chashuv, and that amount, if you take that into the Rosh Hashanah, would then be enough to make you chayav. So it's going to be the same. So Gemara says, Amru lo kizayis keegos kebeisa. Three different levels. You have three stones that a person used to use. The first was the size of a kezias, which is an olive. The second stone was the size of an egos, which is added of a nut. And the third is a beitza, which is the size of an egg. So Rashi points out that basically the Chachamim had when a person was wiping himself, so the Gemara was saying that you should use three stones in that order, meaning that is going from the size of smallest to largest. That the first stone is the size of a kezias, is going to be the smallest, the second size of a nut, and the third size of an egg, is that apparently was the best way to get rid of all the things that were inside a person when he has to wipe. So therefore, you first go in the smallest one, because then it goes the deepest in, and then again, not to get to all the details, but a person, then the second, and then third, that is the shear when it comes to this. Amar lehu, v'chi tortani yachnis, he's going to bring in a scale, you're going to bring in a scale to weigh yourself, to realize how much each stone, you're going to see, oh, is this a shear of a kezias, is this a shear of a nut, is this a shear of an egg? It can't be. So therefore, they accepted that argument, meaning since that's not a person can't be so medactic on that shear of knowing how much he's allowed to take out for the rocks, so therefore the Gemara says, nimna v'gumrim below ayad, that after that discussion, based on what he said, they said it must be that a person is a handful. If a person takes out a handful, then you would in fact, you're going to be chayav. I just thought it was very interesting that here the chachamim have the ability to change the din in deraisa. So maybe that this is the concept of masrona kasav of the chachamim. That there's a concept we use it many times, the lesson malacha and chalamoid and things like that, where the chachamim, the way they interpret something is going to be the deraisa, because we're talking about a chiyuv chatas over here, a chiyuv misa. You can get killed for if you take out from rishus rabbim to rishus yachid on a deraisa level. So how do the chachamim have the ability to tell you what that amount is? Is that only derabanan? How are they going to tell you what the deraisa is? Then it must be that the principle of masrona kasav of the chachamim, the chachamim have the ability to interpret what the Torah meant when it says there's an itzer hotza, there's an itzer take out from one place to place A, place B, the Chachamim can tell you what that amount is, and that would affect the din to araisa. A very interesting concept. It seems to be that that's what the Gemara is mentioning over here. Either way, the Gemara continues now. Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Gemara says, Tanya, when we quote in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Kizayis Keegos Kebeitza, like we mentioned, the three stones, the three levels. However, Rabbi Shimon Yossi Omer, Aviv Melo Ayad, no, he's allowed to bring a handful, meaning, as we mentioned before, that the handful would be, I forgot to mention, when it comes to this handful, it's not necessarily going to be a specific size. As many stones as a person is carrying out, regardless of the size, whatever a person can hold in his hand, that is going to be the shear of the handful. So now the Gemara says, so the Gemara now says, Tanur Abanan, going weiter in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Shalosh, we take out the Braisa, Shalosh Avanim Mukruzalos Mutar Lachnas Levesa Kisa. A person is permitted to take in three sharp stones into the bathroom with him on Shabbos. Why? Because a person, we're talking about, Rashi points out that, storms are normally mukta. So here, where a person is talking about a situation where there was an eruv, but they're normally mukta, we're allowing you to use them because wiping yourself is a kavod abriyah, since we're going to see the hemshech of the Gemara. V'kama shirun, what is considered their size and their measurement of these stones? Rabbi Meir Omer, ke'egos, Rabbi Meir says the size of a nut, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ke'beitza, Rabbi Yehuda says the size of an egg. So these tanaim are, Rashi points out, that they're disagreeing with what he said before. They're saying only three stones the same size as opposed to before with a different level of stones. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav from Papa Amar Chista, Kemachlokas Khan, just as there's a machlokas here in the Braisa regarding the size of the stones for a person to be able to have, that Rabbi Huda had this machlokas with Rabbi Meir, Kach machlokas Esrog, so there's a machlokas when it comes to the size of an Esrog, that the Mishnah in Sukkah discusses Rabbi Meir holds an Esrog has to be the size of an Egos, minimum shear of a nut, and Rabbi Huda says it's the bigger shear of a Beitza. So just like we have the machlokas here, we have the machlokas when it comes to an Esrog. The Gemara wonders what the phrase was, the way that they said this phrase was a little bit difficult. Hasam Asnisin. There, when it comes to Esrog, is referring to is a Mishnah. Mishnah is very well known. Everyone knows Mishnayos. Hacha Breisa. You're saying just like there's a Machlokas here, as a way to remember it, you should remember there's also Machlokas by the Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. But the Gemara says that can't be. We remember Mishnayos, we don't remember Breisa. So that's not, you should mention it the other way around. So the Gemara says you're right. The Gemara says, Ela b'Machlokas b'Esrog. If you want to remember the Machlokas of what this year is, Rabbi Meir held that it was an egos, Rabbi Meir held that it was a nut, and Rabbi Yehuda held it was like a beitz, it was an egg. So you should remember the Mishnah. You're going to remember the Mishnah, so then Machlokas b'Esrog. And the way to remember the Masugi over here when it comes to the size of a stone, how big of a stone you're allowed to take into the bathroom, Kach Machlokas. Khan Sutra's Machlokas were here with this Breisa, with regards to how big you can take it in. Now the Gemara says a related ruling of Rav Yehuda when it comes to the bathroom, also a low as a pious. A person not allowed to take a pious into the bathroom. Where asks, what is this pious? My pious. Amar Bizera, Karshine Bavaisa. This pious is not stoned. Rather, it's the types of clods of earth that were literally from Bavel earth that they were using. Apparently, this earth was not hard enough, and these clumps are going to not going to be used properly, so they're going to crumble. So therefore, you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos, as it is going to be muktzah because they don't have a purpose of wiping yourself with it. So then the Gemara says, "Amar Rava Aser l'shamish b'tzura b'Shabbos." Rava says it's Aser for a person to open up his behind when he has to use the bathroom. Apparently, that was the method that he used to. Person was having difficulty being able to go to the bathroom, to open up that area was something that used to use a small sharp stone in order to open it so that they can use the restroom. So the Gemara says, use the bathroom. So the Gemara says, Kederach Shememash Ben Cholit, in the way that you would do it during the week, it's usher to do this on Shabbos. So Rava says that it's usher. Tosfos point out, what isher is it? So Tosfos called Rashi. And they say that Pashtus is the Isser of gozes, of shearing, that a person is going to definitely going to have some of his hairs in his behind when you are opening it up, you're going to be shearing off some of the hairs over there, and that would be the malacha of gozes of shearing. So then why isn't it a problem? Why isn't just davar shem miskaven? It's not necessarily going to happen every time. So that Rava must have held that it's not just a davar shem miskaven, it's something that inevitably would happen. Therefore, it'd be a psik resha, and a psik resha we know is usher to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, maskef lar marzutra. So what are you supposed to do? Listakin, it's very dangerous. The Gemara says in Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Talmid that says that a person who has to go to the bathroom very badly and holds it in and is continuously not able to go to the bathroom, he is going to have hydroken. He's going to have a very serious machal, a very serious disease from not being able to go to the bathroom and holding it. So the Gemara answers, you're right. The Gemara says, Rava didn't mean to say that it's usher to do this at all in any circumstance on Shabbos. Rather, Rava says that it's only going to be usher to do it in the normal manner, but doing it in an unusual manner would be mutter. Rashi points out doing it in an unusual manner is holding them between your two fingers. If you hold them between your two fingers, as opposed to usually holding them with your thumb in your fingers, the way that people normally hold to wipe, that if you hold it with two fingers, then it's considered kalachar yad. And this malacha, which is only an isser derabanan, the Achronim point out anyway in the first place, so it would be makel when it comes to kavod abrios and being able to, and not just kavod, it's actually not kavod abrios. Rather, for the disease that you might get, the hadrokion would be mako in this situation. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yanai, im yesh makom kavod abisa kisas. If there's a place which a person set aside for his bathroom, milo hayad, then he's allowed to bring the handful of stone. However, if there's no place that you set aside a bathroom, then kehechra. A person is allowed to only bring in the size of a nut, Rashi points it out, also Firashi, which is Hechrea, is the compromise over here between the Shira. We mentioned that there's a Beitza, Egos, and Kezias. The Beitza is going to be the biggest one, the Egos the middle, and the Kezias is the smaller one. So over here, we're only making a compromise that would allow you to do that if you didn't set aside for the bathroom beforehand. However, Medocha Ktana Shel Besamim, if a person has a stone, which is using for a small, a mortar, which a person uses for crushing spices, Amar Rav Sheshes, then Rav Sheshes says, Im Yesh Aleha Eid mutter, if there is a raya, if there's a testimony, literally, meaning that there is a way to see that it's not used for the mortar purposes, then it's going to be mutter. Normally a mortar, Rashi points out, is usher because it's something that's used to grind things, so it's going to be mukta. Mukta machmas iser, it's something you generally use for an iser. However, here you're allowed to use it if it had previously been used to wipe at one point beforehand. If you see that there are traces of that you see leftover remnants from a person who previously wiped, then if there's excrement or something else left on it, then Rashi says, then it would be mutter to use it. Rabbi Kivyager just points out though, Akasha though, why do you need to come on to the fact that you only need the according to this, you need the aid, you need the raya, the proof that you used it before. Why don't we just say that it's a klishim lachal isher, which is mutter machmatz, kufa, to use it for a heter purpose. So therefore, some explain that, no, it doesn't mean that it was aser mitzand, aser iser machmas, mukta machmas iser, rather, it's because of mukta machmas chaseron kis. And therefore, being mekel, even if in mukta machmas chaseron, which is much more machmir, not allowed to move it, even letzorach kufa, letzorach makoma, even for using it for its purpose, that's heter purpose on Shabbos, or if you need the space, and that is the chiddush of Rashi. Okay, either way, that is explaining the sheet of Rashi, but the Gemara, it has a kashad on Rav Sheshes implies that someone is allowed to wipe himself with the stone that had previously been used to wipe at a previous time, and that's the only situation in which using this mortar stone, the meducha ktana, the small mortar stone is going to be mutter. So the Gemara asks them, Mesive, we have a kasha based on the following price, we saw this price in brachos. There's going to be 10 things which bring a person to hemorrhoids. What are they? Veluhin. These are the 10 things. Ochel ale kinim, someone that eats leaves of reeds, ale gefanim, someone eats leaves of grapevines, ule gefanim, or if he has these shoots of grapevines, umorgne behemah shel melach, if a person has any part of the animal which isn't smooth, the hard parts of the animal, without she'ed below melach, if you didn't add any salt to it, v'shidro shel dag, if a person has a spine of a fish, v'dag maleach shel bishul kol tzarchot, if you have salted fish that isn't completely cooked, v'ashos shomer yayin, someone who drinks the person that has these type of these wine dregs, v'kaneach b'sidu v'charesu, someone who wipes himself with lime or with pottery shards, v'hamekaneach b'torch kineach b'chaver, someone who wipes himself with a pebble or a stone that his friend had wiped with. That's the raya that we're using against Rav Sheshes. If you use this, you're going to get hemorrhoids, so it's very dangerous. How can Rav Sheshes say you should be using it? Add to the list, if someone is literally hanging himself, meaning he's standing up while using the bathroom, he's not sitting down properly, that would also lead him to having hemorrhoids. But the Gemara is asking, over here we see clearly that it brings hemorrhoids using a previously used stone of someone else. So how could you be that your Rav Sheshes allows you to use it? So the Gemara answers three terusim. Lokasha. Habilach habiyavish. The brace is referring to a case where it's still moist traces, and that's very dangerous. That's going to bring you hemorrhoids. If Rav Sheshes is referring to dry ones, and when it's dry, it's not going to be dangerous anymore. Therefore, Rav Sheshes allows you, if it's completely dry, but it still has the reshuma. It's still, you could tell that a person had previously used it to wipe himself, then you'd be allowed to wipe yourself as well. Or you can give another answer. Rosh is referring to using a stone only on one side of the Kamish Neitzad, and the brace is saying it's usher because a person had already used it on both sides. Meaning, if a person used it on one side, you could tell that side is used. You'd be allowed to use the other side of the stone to wipe yourself. However, the brace that was talking about where a person had already used both sides, so therefore being usher. Ema, third answer. But using a stone that you had previously used, Rosh is saying is mutter. However, the Bryce is referring to a case that your friend had used it, that would be a situation which would be dangerous and unhealthy. So the Gemara now asks, Amar le'Abaye Rav Yosef, Yardu alea gishamim, if it had rained on this stone that he had really used previously, v'nitashu, and the traces were all washed away, mahu, what is going to be the lacha? Is the stone going to be mutter to use still or not? Because maybe you could assume that now it's going back to its mukta status because it's no longer used. It's something that's designated for going to the bathroom because you can't even tell that it was something that you used previously. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, imei rishuma nikar mutter. If it was still able to tell that there's a stone sort of mark on it, then it was going to be mutter because the markings, Rashi points out, is showing that you once used it to use the bathroom, then it's still going to be considered something that's repulsive that no one would ever want to use for something other than wiping yourself, so therefore you would not go back to use it as a mortar stone. You would hope that no one would want to use that. Then now the Gemara asks a similar question. What's going to be the lacha about taking these stones up to the roof? Rashi asks, is it tirchi asira? You're all the way, go to the bathroom all the way on your roof and go up three flights with this stone. Is that going to be mutter or not? Maybe you should not be allowed to carry the stone in this circumstance to the roof to go use the bathroom. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, so Rav Chista responded to him, Gadol kavod Rabbi Yosef docha eslosa shabbatora. That we know that a person's dignity is so important to the halacha of Gadol Kavod HaBrias, to respect of a person, of a human being, is extremely important. That it's Doch Elosa says, the Torah, the Pasuk says, V'salamta mehem, that a person is not allowed to do Hashavas Aveda, a person has to do Hashavas Aveda, and you have to take something from your friend. You're never allowed to ignore your friend's property. The Gemara's Joseph Elanta is a reboy, that sometimes if a person is Zakin Lefein Elefein Kvoda, if it's a Zakin, and it doesn't befit him, it finds ladies' underwear, you're going to return that. That's very embarrassing. Then the Torah tells you that the dress is the reboy, they're telling you you don't have to do that. So we learned, and it's not literally Zoche Lo Sase Shabbat Torah, the Gemara Brachos, we saw this Gemara about the woman with the shatnez, it only is Doche a Lo Sase of Lo Sase, which is seemingly the way most Rishonim explain it, only in Isser Derabbanan. So by the way, the Gemara is saying that still you're going to be allowed to take it up to the roof for this purpose. The Gemara asks a kasha, and this Gemara says, but Yosef Marmimar Vekamar Le Lahash Maita. So Marmimar said this teaching, and Esav Rabbina Lamimar, so he said over this halacha, and he asked a kasha from the following Braisa. Rabbi Lezer says, no till Adam Kesam Shalfan, a person is allowed to take a little wood chip from a stack of wood that is lying before him on Shabbos, lechatzu b'shinav, in order to clean his teeth. You got food stuck in your teeth. However, the Chachamim said a person is only allowed to take out from the wood that was lying in the trough of an animal, which Rashi points out that was set aside for the purpose of use as animal food. The animal would chew it, so it would not be muktzah. Normally, wood chips are considered mukhma masas gufo, mukhma machmas atzman. They have no purpose for you on Shabbos. And yet, over here, according to the first day, you're allowed to do this. However, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to take it out. And they only allow you to take out the wood chip that's not mukta because it was set aside for your animal already. So once it's already set aside, it was not considered a mukta anymore. It's designated. So they only allow you to use that wood chip, and they don't allow you to use the first wood chip. They don't allow you to use the regular wood chip that was stam mukta. So we see that even though there's covered up brios, Rashi points out, it's going to be very embarrassing. Your teeth are all dirty. You're still not allowed to brush your teeth and clean it out. So that is going to be usher according to the Chacham over here. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta, can you really make this comparison over Hasam when it comes to the wood chips over there? Adam Kovea Makam Masuda, a person knows beforehand where he's going to be eating. And there Rashi points out, if you know where you're going to be eating, V'haya lo lahachin shametmo, then you should know that and designate a wood chip from beforehand. However, Hacha, when it comes to this situation over here, when you're preparing stones before it, Amakov and Makal and Besa Kisa, do you know where you're going to have to go to the bathroom? Rashi points out, let's say you go to one bathroom, the stall's full, and the person's already using the bathroom there. You have to go upstairs, you have to go to a different stall. So you don't really know whenever you're going to go to the bathroom, so you can't designate where to put all the stones in every single bathroom. So therefore, it's considered something that you didn't know about before. So basically, it depends. If there's negligence beforehand, Rashi says, then negligence will not allow Doche Kavod Arios because it's something that you knew about before. However, if there's no negligence, then we would say, the covenant of Brios is Doche, the Isser over here of Mukta. And there's just an interesting halacha that comes out of this. The Ramar Paskins, Ramah says that if someone's talus, one of the strings of the talus falls off on Shul, so it's going to be very embarrassing for him to walk around with that talus because everyone else is wearing a talus. You're only in the shul without a talus. Ramah says that if your talus falls, one of the strings falls out on Shabbos, you're allowed to continue wearing that even though you're actively not wearing tzitzis, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So he says because that's Kavod Arios. And the Magen Avraham says, however, this halach of the Ramah is only when one of the strings of the tzitzis fell out on Shabbos itself. But let's say it already fell out Erev Shabbos and you knew about it, then that's negligence. And Kavod Arios is not going to be doche negligence that you knew about before Shabbos. And his raya is from this Gemara because we see that Kavod Arios is only doche negligence. Kavod Arios is only doche an iser of derabanan when, or a mitzvah derais, so let's say a mitzvah to do something, but when there is a no negligence. However, if the negligence, the Magen Avraham points out, based on this Gemara, you would not be allowed to continue wearing those tzitzis. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna. Usher lifnos b'sden near b'shabbes. It's going to be usher for a person to go to the bathroom in a freshly plowed field on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, why would this be? Then we're analyzing. Why time? What's the reason why it's going to be usher? Ili mashum davsha. If you're going to say Rav Huna was saying that it's usher because if you're going to be doing that, you're going to relieve yourself in the field. You're going to be walking. You're going to be treading upon the furrows, and then you are going to be ruining it, Rashi points out. So the Gemara says, "Afilu b'chol nami." If that's the case, you're ruining someone at your friend's field, then you're mazik. You're doing the hilchos nezik, and you're violating your friend's property. That's going to be usher even during the weekdays. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Elo mishum asavim." If you're going to say rather, it's because of the grasses that are growing on the stones, and there's a concern that someone's going to wipe himself, he's going to detach the grass. Rashi says. So then the Gemara says, if that's the case, though, v'hamar Reish Lakish. But didn't Reish Lakish tell us, "Shor shalu b'asavim"? If a stone had grass on it, mutar l'kanechbo. You could still use that stone to wipe with it, even though you may cause the grass to be detached, since it's not going to be 100%. It's not going to be usher, because we pass like Rav Shimon, davar shenu miskaven, if it's not going to be 100%, it's not going to be usher. V'atolish ben usaba, however, if you intentionally are detaching the grass from it on Shabbos, chayav chatas, then you're going to be live chatas, meaning you violated in iser d'oraisa. So the Gemara now says, why Rav Huna held it was usher? The Gemara says, Ella, the reason Rav Huna said it's usher, because dilma nakit me The reason that we're afraid it's usher over here, Rav Huna says usher to use this, to go to the bathroom in the freshly plowed field, is because a person is going to take a stone from above the furrow, and after using it, he's going to throw it into a hole. So what's the problem? You have Mechai Meshum de Rabbi, he's going to be usher because of what Rabbi says. What does Rabbi say that he's going to, what did he violate? Amar Rabbi, Isalo Guma Utamima. If someone has a hole, you fill it up. If we're talking about a house, then it's going to be chai because of building. Rashi points out that in a house where the floor is wearing, so they didn't have like we have like the hard surfaces. There's, so if you fix the floor, then you're going to be leveling the floor, and that's be mashve gumos. That is the iser deraisa of bonet, of building your house. However, besada, if you're doing it in a field, then you're going to be chayav mishum choresh. You're going to be chayav deraisa because of plowing. The choresh is any, when a person is leveling a field, you're preparing it for planting. Any malacha which is planting or planting would be the purpose of choresh. So here too, leveling it out would be the malacha of choresh. So that is why Rav Huna says asr to do this, because of the this over here, this issue of it, going to be doing it of choresh. So now the Gemara continues analyzing. We mentioned Reish Lakish as an agav point to reject the Rav Huna's possible explanation. So the Gemara now analyzes Reish Lakish. Gufa, Amar Reish Lakish, Tzor Shalub Basavim. That again, if you have a stone which grass grew upon it, and a person, you're allowed to wipe with it. And if you intentionally are detaching the grass, then you're chayav chatas. Gemara says, "Amar a papi, shmami nami the Reish Lakish." A person we can learn out from Reish Lakish. Hi, pir pisa shari la tutsuya. Someone has a perforated flower pot. And this fire pot has holes in it, and you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos, and we don't consider the fact that you're going to be moving it as detaching it from the ground. Why do they have these perforated flower pots? So Rashi points out a minhag which seems to be very, very similar to what the minhag of Kaparos, that they used to take these fire pots, they would grow it with fertilizer and things like that in the ground, they would prepare the fire pots, and each person would take it home, and they would plant beans and other legumes, and right before Rosh Hashanah, they would take it out, and they would say the same lesson Rashi quotes, and this fire pot we're going to throw away and go away. Very interesting. They would do flower pots, and we do the chickens. So now, either way, so the Gemara says though that we're pointing out from here that picking up the stone is not going to be the issue of detaching, and it's permitted to move this flower pot. It's permitted to move this flower pot on Shabbos. Okay, and so now the Gemara says. So the Gemara asks, so Maskeh Rav Kana the Kasha on this though. Im Amar LaTzorech though, with the Chama are going to be Mekel in the stone because you have to use the bathroom. Im Amar LaTzorech over here though, in a regular case, you're going to tell me that you're allowed to remove the perforated flower pot on Shabbos. It can't be. We can't learn that from over here. You can carry it on Shabbos, and we're not going to consider it detaching. That was only we're going to be Mekel in the situation of a Torah. So the Gemara answers now. Amar Abaye Pirpasa Hoyel VeAsa LiYadon Lema BeMilsa. So the Gemara says the perforated flower pot. Since we just started discussing it, let's say something about it. Hayamunach agabe karka. If it was on the ground, benichol agabe yisidos, and you lifted it up on top of the pegs, in which case you're placing it on supports above the ground, so it's no longer touching the ground. Mechayev b'shum tolash. A person can be mechayev because you detached on Shabbos. Rashi points out you're not going to be chayev midaraisa, because if it's going to be chayev mitzad daraisa, then how in the world would we allow you to do this in order to wipe yourself on Shabbos in the bathroom? We never allow you to do a melacha daraisa chiv skila to wipe yourself. So it must be that lav davka the lashon of mechayev over here going to chayev daraisa. That means mechayev derabanan. If a person was resting on the pegs and you put it on the ground, you're going to be chayav because of planting. Because in this situation, you are going to be increasing the ability to draw nourishment from the ground. Then you're going to be a person over here is going to be able to be nourishing it from the ground, and that be similar to the malacha of note of similar over here to the malacha of planting. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Asur Lekaneach B'Cheres B'Shabbos. It's Asur to wipe yourself with an earthenware shard on Shabbos. The Gemara says, my time, and what is the reasoning? Rabbi Yochanan says, Asur. And where's the Eli Mishum Sakana? If you want to say because it's dangerous, then Afila B'Chol Nami. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say on Shabbos it's Asur? Mashman Nachol, it's Mutter. It can't be. If it's dangerous to use this, then it's going to be Asur during the weekday as well. Ve'el Mishum Kshavim, when I say because of witchcraft, apparently, the Gemara is going to discuss this later, we're going to see in the Gemara below, that witchcraft, when a person leaves out, when a person uses these shards, they could harm a person with these things. We're going to see it later in Gemara. So the Gemara says, so then also afilu b'chol nami, so then it should also be during the week. They also asr. So Gemara says, elam ishum hasharas nimin. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan says asr because of gozes. You're removing the hairs when you do this, when you use specifically the shards of the earthenware shards. So Gemara says, darmishin uskavenu. But if it's not 100%, then it's going to be something that's unintentional because it's not 100%. It's going to happen. It shouldn't be asr. So Gemara says, amar Rav Nasan bar Arosha, gavar Rabba mar Milsa. Rabbi Yochanan said said this important thing. You can't just reject Rabbi Yochanan. So nima beitama. Let's explain Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, lomi bay b'chol d'asr. It's obviously during the weekday, it's going to be usher to use these stones because there's a better way to use the other stones. You could use non-pottery stones. The Gemara says, Aval Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, I would have said maybe you should use dafka these earthenware stones. Why? Because Holy Ve'ikah Torah is clearly of Shepherd Dami. Because Rashi points out that there is a kli. It is used for carrying flame and it's something that's not considered mukta. So maybe you should dafka use this. The Gemara says, Kamash Milan, Rabbi Yochanan therefore telling us that eating it is Asr on Shabbos either because of kshafim or because of witchcraft or because it's going to be Melacha of Gozes. The Gemara says, Rava Masna Mishum Hasharas Nimin. Rava says, no, you are also because of Gozes. You're cutting the hairs on Shabbos. But then he asked the Kashla, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, me and Rabbi Yochanan, also the Kanech Mechares for Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan really said it's usher to wipe yourself with this earthenware shard on Shabbos. Alma Davar Shem Eskaven usher. Then it would imply that if something is not 100% going to happen and it's unintentional, it's still going to be usher on Shabbos. But Alma Rabbi Yochanan, but that's not, that can't be though, because Rabbi Yochanan himself said Allah Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan told us the Allah follows a regular Stam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah tells us none, and the Mishnah tells us Nazir Chovim Misafsev, or Nazir is allowed to rub his hair off his head, and is also allowed to separate it with his fingers, but with his fingers. Avalo sorik, he's not allowed to use a comb because the nazir is usher to get a haircut. He's allowed to cut his hair. However, if it's something that's darish and miskaven, if it's not 100% going to happen, it's going to be mutter. And Yochanan says we should lechora paskin like this Stam Mishnah, which is following Rabbi Shimon. So how could Rabbi Yochanan tell you that the pottery shards are usher if it's not going to necessarily 100% happen? And yet over here he says that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says ela mechorta kerav nasan b'roshah, because of this stira, it's right. Rava's answer doesn't work. That we went to like Rabbi Yochanan Nasha, that it's usher, there's a chiddush to tell you why it's usher because of kshafim, and therefore we reject Rava and we just say we go like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, I'd kind of for today. We'll pick up Mirza Shem with the Ham Chechling Worm, Mark Shafim tomorrow, Mirza Shem.